I'm letting you listen to the music of my new and costly speakers and amplifier. It's a beautiful set, one that you'll really flip over when you see it. And it's given me a lot of lovely music. Well, honey, a little more of that music later. But now to tell you about my trip coming back in old 747. I must admit, it's a lot better riding on the wing than it is riding on the fantail, because there's a lot of vibration back aft, and I didn't feel it coming over. And I got a nice seat right on the wing. If you go to pick a seat on a 747, the first row is number 31 in a section, in the midsection. It's up forward. If you can get a seat in row 31, you'll either from the ABC side, they're all good seats there. That's the stewardess is sitting up there facing you. And you've got all the leg room in the world. 31 ABC or 31 D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. 31 I, J, K or 31 ABC. Now the other 31 seats are good too, but they face the what looks like the movie screen. Anyway, try to get see if you three gals come out here, see if you can get 31 ABC. It'd probably be hard to get because they'll be filled. Or go over on the other side. The other side has two seats, I guess. Maybe three, I don't know. I enjoyed my flight back. I just got to my book and read and sat by the window and looked out, fell asleep. First they gave us two little French rolls and a cup of coffee and some papaya. Well, when the coffee got to me, they just got to wet the bottom of my cup and they run out. So the girl says, I'll be right back. And I never saw her again. Boy, that's like feeding in a mess hall on a battleship, feeding in there. So I never even bothered about it. I just sat tight and waited till I got back into Saigon. I didn't even make any complaints. Didn't feel like arguing even. So I got back into Saigon and there's something coming off of one of those planes that carry 340 passengers to get through customs. So it so happened that I doped off a little bit, got out, and they have buses to take you to the customs inspection and immigration station. And so I crawled on a bus, and I was one of the last ones on. But when I got to the immigration side, I was one of the first ones off. So I was, seemed like fourth or fifth in line, in my line, and I got through very quickly. When I got through, I looked back, and there was five lines clear back through the outside door. So it'll take a little time to work you through customs when you come through. Let's get up there ahead of them. All right, then what happened then? But Mr. Khan was right there waiting for me, and we went out and got in the car, and I told him I wanted to go to USAID 1. We did. Went down to USAID 1 and I did my business that I had to do, and I'll tell you about in a minute. And then we went down to USAID 2, and it was about 11:30, about quarter to 12, I guess. 12:30. That's what it was. And Steve and his people quit at 12:30, so he was just locking up the office to go to lunch, and I handed him his three envelopes, and he got his mail right there, and I said, everybody said howdy, and he went his way, and I got in the car and went back. Went back to Canto. Went back to Bentray, excuse me. But while I was in Saigon, I talked to the people about my extending, and they said, after I talked to a few of them, they said, well, it wasn't really necessary. If you extend, you're vulnerable. If they want to terminate your extension, you've already completed your tour, so if they want to terminate your extension, that just, and they want to cut somebody, they'll just cut you. They won't let you go till the end of your tour. So I thought that over. And I talked to one of my backstop officers and asked her what she thought I should do. And she said, well, there isn't too much problem. She said, you can come back here on your second choice. So if you come back this way anyway, you'll be returning to your duty station. So it looks as if I may as well just let things go as they are and you and I go home for Christmas. We'll be there in the holidays and we'll have a pleasant time. I think we'll be there in the holidays. We figured up my days to be November the 11th to leave the country. If that's true, November the 11th will give me about 45 days till January the 1st. So then we'd come back to this country in the 1st of 1972. Does that sound all right to you? I kind of feel I'd be better off if I took a little break in there. I'm going to write a letter. My backstop officer said to write her a note, send it through channels, and tell her to please notify the Bureau at a certain time before my time was up. Ask them what the chances were for my reassignment, and tell them that I am ready, willing to come back on my second choice for second tour. And I said, how about if I asked to go to another corps, like two corps? And she said, well, this is all right. To just be sure you get the approval of your supervisors and your corps level, then we won't have any problem. I expect there would be a problem, however, of some sort. I don't know, Kotzebue probably not want to sign it too much, be too favorable in signing it. Nevertheless, I'm going to write her a note and tell her that I would like to be brought back here on my second choice. I don't know. I'd like to go over to Cambodia, too. But I don't know. I want to go where I can get you with me. I think if I stay here long enough, I'll get down to Canto. But I've got to put in a request for that. I should do that. Ask to transfer to Canto or ask to transfer to Nitrang or someplace where the corps level is. I'd like to get out of the provinces because I just don't feel comfortable here anymore. I don't feel as though I'm part of the team when they've got me working as I am. But things will all work out for the better because, as you and I say, put yourself in the Lord's hands and everything will be okay. When I got back to Kento, when I got back to Bentray, I got in yesterday, and I was supposed to go to Meetah today, but I just had papers stacked up all over, and I wasn't possible for me to get the work done. So I had to go in today and sit down and work out all the papers. You know, a funny thing happened. I transferred over my impress fund to Larry Grossman, and Larry was supposed to be the impress officer then. So it happened that yesterday an inspector came down from Saigon to inspect the papers and the records of mine, and Larry couldn't open the safe. I'd give him the combination, he put it in his mind, but he couldn't open the darn thing. So when I got here about 2:30, the fella was waiting to catch an airplane about 3. And I asked him how he did, and he said, all right, he said, I didn't get to count your money. I was supposed to count the money, and he says, I wasn't able to. And I said, why not? He said, well, I couldn't get in the safe. Mr. Grossman couldn't open the safe. And I said, well, here's the money. And I opened the safe and gave him the money and counted. And he caught the airplane and got all his business done as it was. So I was very fortunate that I got to talk to him when I did, and got to give him the money to count. But old Larry was left here all by himself. He works for Pitts and NLD, and old Pitts went on vacation the same time I did. Larry had my job and had NLD job all by himself. And he was trying to write reports and do a lot of things. It was real awkward for him. Poor guy, he's kind of a young fellow. He doesn't have too much experience in his paperwork, but he's got lots of savvy, and he'll do all right. All of the people were very glad to see us and say howdy and give them all your regards, and nothing exciting had happened while I was gone. Mr. Tuin had carried on in his usual fashion, which is very good and efficient. I think more of him all the time. I gave him his sandals for his wife and gave him this other pair you had in there in the closet. I gave the soap to the maid, and she said, oh, it smells very good, and she's very happy about it. And she would, everybody want knowing you're coming, and I said, you'll be here next month to visit. So, however, I haven't seen the notice yet that says you're authorized to come in country, but I'll sure get her in there as soon as I sure get the name in as soon as I get the notice. I was going to cut this tape last night, which was Monday night, and send it to you, and nobody would leave me alone. The minute I came in the house, somebody was here following me and talking to me, and they'd leave and somebody else would come. Finally at 11:30 last night, poor old Larry went to bed after sitting here for an hour and a half telling me all the troubles he went through trying to handle the week by himself. And tonight I said, I'm going to knock off and I'm going home and tape a tape to Florence. If I don't and I go to Meetah, I'll have a hard time trying to get it taped or trying to get a letter written. And sure enough, I just started taping, and Larry came in and said, Mr. Fred over at Esso had invited us, he and I, over to dinner. And he said he invited us a couple of days ago, but you weren't here. He passed the invitation through me, so I'm passing it on now. And I said, oh, Larry, I can't make it. I said, go tell Fred that I've had dinner already. And he said, okay, that's all right. So, you know, Fred is really a dinner with him is like eating with the president, I guess. Everything's kind of formal, and it's really, really not very comfortable. But he feeds all right, but he talks a lot. He likes to drink a lot in the meals, and I'd like to talk to him too, but I just don't have time. I didn't even go to chow tonight. I went up the street and got Mr. Noy to make me a bowl of soup, and he brought it down to the house, and I had it here. Then earlier this afternoon, about quitting time, 5 o'clock or so, my amplifier hadn't been acting right, and old Rosser has a Filipino technician here working in the radio field, and so he was going to have it fixed when I was gone, and the guy put in a new antenna. When I came back, it didn't work very good at all. So he felt that the Filipino felt a little bit embarrassed about it, and he came to check it the other night, and it worked fairly good. But this morning when I tried it, it was just off and on and all over the country and wasn't doing any good at all. So I just went and called him tonight at 5 o'clock, and he came down to the house, and he took the set apart, or pulled the covers off of it, and he adjusted it, and boy, it makes all the difference in the world that now I've got really power like yours and real good music, and it's a pleasure to listen to. And as soon as I run out of words here, I'll get something on it so you can hear it and hear the bass and all the pretty music that comes out of it. John Pitts was supposed to come back this morning. When he and I left about the same day, he was scheduled to come back a day later. Somehow or other, he didn't get in. They told the driver that he wouldn't be in till tomorrow. So nobody went up after him, but I just hear a lot of noise outside and somebody slamming his door. Maybe so he flew in here on a helicopter. It's 7:30, 7:45 at night. No time for him to be roaming around, but he might have came in late. I'll find out a little later and let you know. Tomorrow I must go over to Meetah, and I'll probably spend a couple of days there. Tomorrow is Wednesday and Thursday, and then I'll come back Friday. I don't enjoy going over to Meetah. I don't like my quarters as well, and I don't like the work as well. I get a little cold shoulder over there, but since I have some work to do, I guess I'll just have to go over there tomorrow, and so I'll slip over and see what's going on sometime in the morning. I bought all those horses, the pictures of the horses that we bought up in Saigon, Becky's paintings of horses. Well, I told you that I had them arranged in a kind of a cross-like affair, arranging up and down the wall, but I had two different kinds of picture frames. And when I left last week, I took the odd kind of frames down and told the carpenter to make the same kind as I had, so he did. Now I got them back, and I've got them rearranged, and they're really, I like them real fine. I've got a row of three, and underneath them a row of three, and then one down at the bottom. I've got 6, 7 of these pictures of Becky's horses, and they look pretty good. They fill up the whole wall over the back of my settee, and as I sit here talking to you, I can, I just look at them, and there's lots of action in them. They're moving real good, and I like to see them moving like that. It reminds me of my old cowboy days. I hope the Kinders got back safe and sound, and that everybody's happy and settled away, and I know they are. By the time you get this tape, they should be everything going swell. I want you to thank them again for letting me use the car while they were gone, because you and I got around real good and enjoyed ourselves a lot. I think that the trip did me real good. I feel lots different and lots better now that I'm back here, and I feel well, I'm not so much pressurized, not so unhappy. Also, this thing about my termination or end of tour is makes me feel a lot better. I do want to move, though, when I come back. If I do come back, I do want to move. I think I think we rate a move. You and I rate being together. I had one letter that was that you'd have sent me here when I got back. And it was the one you told me that you didn't think I'd get it, but give me some late news about Lou not being able to come. I guess I might as well make him up a tape, or you can make him up the other side of this one if you want to, and send it to him. Be sure they get wound up right if you do. Well, they'll be wound up right if you send one on the other side. Listen to that stereo, boy. You can hear the bass, and you can hear the tenor. That's really marvelous. And it's so, it fills up this room. I don't know. I can almost feel it. All through. That is probably the most glamorous piece of equipment I'll ever own. And really will give us a lot of pleasure all of our lives. Because that's supposed to be the best unit made of this kind of things. This is according to Rosser. He sure wants it. He'd like to have it right away. He'd buy it from me right today if I'd sell it to him. But I don't want to sell it to him. I want to keep it for you. The present, it's a present for you and something that I bought for my wife. He can have the other set. Providing he gets permission, eh? This June that fixed the radio here has been, took a course in electronics engineering in Manila. And he's a pretty sharp guy. I got to talking to him this afternoon, and he said that he was telling me about him going to school. He went to school 4 years in Manila, and he said he needed another year for an engineering degree. I said, why don't you go to the States and get one? He said, well, that's what I'd like to do. I said, when I get back there, Florence and I will move back there. They got a good school in the University of Colorado, and you can come back, and I'll sponsor you, and you can get your engineering degree. And his eyes lit up. Boy, he'd sure like to do that. So I encouraged him. I said, sure, no problem. All you got to do is get in the university. And you get a visa and from Manila and get a passport. He says, once I get in the country, it'll be all right. He said, I keep extending it just like they do out here. I said, okay, nice. And I'll talk to him some more. Vic came back yesterday, and he was in Manila for about a month's vacation. And he meant to stop by and see you and thank you for the papers and everything, he told me. He said that when he got in there, he thought he had 2 days, and he got in there that night, and he had to fly to Cebu, and he said they flew him out the next morning, so he never got to see it. And then when he came back, he never had any time either. He came in I was there Saturday and Sunday. He flew out Sunday, I guess. He got in Sunday. So, Vic, he would have stopped by to see you. He's a nice guy. Well, honey, this is coming close to the end of the tape. I'm going to tell you that I certainly did enjoy the visit with you, and I'm certainly looking forward to you coming. I don't know how I'm going to get a double bed lined up so we can sleep as comfortable as we did. But maybe we'll just sleep on the little old single bed together. We're not that old. I'm going to see if I can't line things out that we can't just be together. I'm not going to run off and leave you if I can help it. You know, I can go to Mitaw in the daytime and come home in the afternoon, come back here and sleep. A lot of people do that. They commute. So even if I have to go over there in the daytime, I might just come back at night if I have to go. Maybe I won't have to, I don't know. Maybe they don't like me enough that they'll say that we can stop this malarkey. But we've got a lot coming up for us on this end of the year, and the months are just a whizzing by, and I sure hope that things are going to shape up all right. I'm pretty sure they are, because we put our faith in the good Lord and He'll take care of us. Now all we got to do is just be right and live right and work right and do what's right as we always have. And the big right thing for me is to love you continuously as I have, and let my love continue to grow as it is growing. And believe it or not, honey, you did me a lot of good when I came down there. I was feeling kind of sorry for myself, I guess. Maybe I helped you out too, because you'd gone through a trial period. But that's what we're for, to help one another. I love you with all my heart, and I always will. You're just the nicest person to be around, and so sweet to me, and do all the things that you get in trouble for me, like your hair. But don't sweat it. Let your old wig grow out or something, and we won't have any more problems. I love you with all my heart. I pray for you every night and day, and I'm so happy that you and I have this life together. Whatever happens, we're together, and we love one another enough that nothing will ever bother us. So you be happy and smile a little bit, and keep your old forehead wrinkled up and your lips up smiling. Don't let those wrinkles get around there too much. So long, baby. I love you.